Online Podcast 288. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry about last week. I was enjoying my Labor Day weekend. I didn't do a show. I was too lazy to post a show, and I was out of town also, but I posted several pictures on the website on onlinepodcast.com. But anyway, because I was absent last week, I brought a very special guest. It's like striking lottery when I saw this a post on another website I was involved with called tiltedworld.org, and I found this movie apparently coming out called Pecah Lubang, and I am going to actually introduce you to the person behind all this excitement. I will bring my very special guest in all the way from Malaysia right now, right, Posey?
Hi, hello.
Hello. What do people call you? Are you known as Posey or what?
Oh, I guess in Malaysia I'm known as Ting Posey, but in the U.S. I'm known as Posey Ting, and I went to the U.S. and lived there for 5 years, and now I just can't go back to Ting Posey. I just get confused, John.
Okay, so Ting Posey, Posey Ting, whatever it is, it's Posey here with us.
That's
welcome,
right.
Welcome to online. Welcome to online. And of course, let's find out a little bit more. Frankly, I have just met Posey over the web. We exchanged several emails just a few days ago, and now we're seeing each other for the first time through Skype. And I have lots of questions to ask her about this new project that she's working on. So let's start with your background first, then we'll get into the movie. Tell us, you told us 5 years ago you came to the States. Give us a brief history of how you got here.
A brief history. Well, I was born and raised in Penang.
Yay!
Malaysia.
Yeah! That's our hometown,
Of course, gotta plug that. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Penang, and then
PenangHokkien.com.
I lived there.
Sorry.
And so, it's all right. And then left for KL, and then went to San Francisco for school, to San Francisco State. Then moved to Virginia, and then to Miami, and now I'm back in Malaysia.
Very interesting. What made you decide to go back to Malaysia?
Initially it really wasn't my choice. It had to do a lot of visa problems, as I know a lot of foreign students who lived abroad, and especially in the United States, actually face this. It was wonderful. The U.S. was great. At that time I was working as a video journalist in the U.S., but it was time to come back, and I thought, it's not the end all over there, so it actually might be good to see a little bit more of Asia, and I should actually see Malaysia more and do some reporting. I've never done reporting so much in Malaysia, serious reporting anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
very cool. And so, not exactly by choice to go back, but actually turned out to be quite exciting.
Not initially, John. Uh-huh. Not initially, but I think like the last few months while I was in the United States in Miami, I was just ready to go home. I was ready to.
What
go
was
home.
The last project you did here in America?
My last project, I don't know. I did so many. I guess
who
one
was
of my
it with,
one
at
of
least,
them.
Yeah.
I think yeah, I remember. At least a memorable one would be one I did when I was at the Associated Press about suicides, people jumping off the Florida Sunshine Skyway Bridge. I was working out with it with my friend and colleague, so in Miami.
So how. Long have you been working since after you graduated? How long have you you worked in the U.S.?
After I graduated a year, but to support, I guess, to pay for school, I've always been working and intern at different news organizations, maybe about five, and then so the last year, definitely the Virginia Pilot intern there, the Miami Herald, and then I worked at the Associated Press.
Pretty good. And so let me, do you have a website, don't you?
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Which I haven't updated in a while.
What is your website?
Well, it's posi.com.
Posi, posi.com. And I'll post that on my web as well, on onlinepodcast.com as well. So if you want to follow the link, if you don't remember, you should be too stupid if you cannot remember posi.com, posi.com. Anyway, I like to offend my listeners a little bit, but I like them. Anyway, let's get back to the subject that was near and dear to myself, about your latest project. And just to give you a little bit of a background, that's not so much for my listeners, is I've been podcasting for about 4 years since the podcasting started. And for my personal journal podcast, and you obviously know Posi about penanghokkien.com as well, which is that was crazy fun kind of show. But at the same time, I also am pushing the limit, you know, obviously, you know, with the languages that we use and not so clean. It's pretty much like a conversation that you have with your friends in closed doors. But for online is more closer to me because it is my personal journal, and I tend to want to put stuff that I'm interested in, and one way or the other, always it comes back to revolve around myself, and therefore the whole transsexual topic and issue is also close and near to my heart because of the GLBT community. And now, you know, being an openly gay person, I am, you know, I try to talk about things that is related to me myself. I do have an aunt who's now deceased, but she was also she's a transvestite. She's a transsexual, and so, you know, there are things that, and plus, you know, I'm always try to get involved in, or at least talk about, maybe kind of like you, at least bring up the subject, whether or not you agree or disagree. I want to bring up conversation. So let me ask you, what is your latest project about that film that is out there right now?
What is Pecah Lobang, which is what the documentary is called, is about transsexualism, and it's about Islam. Mm-hmm. It's about sex work, and it's also about what happened in Malaysia in the early 1980s, you know, through the National Fatwa Council in Malaysia. This sort of led to how nomadnias, or in the Malay term for male to female transsexuals, are being treated today.
Now, it's very interesting because, you know, obviously that one sentence pretty much blew everything away, because this is not the subject that you typically would think is brought up in the public in Malaysia specifically. Don't you agree?
I definitely agree, and you know, just talking to different people and to reporters, even last night at the opening of the Freedom Film Fest in Kuala Lumpur, which opens this week, and they were like, you know, why would you want to pursue such a subject? I mean, you know that it would not sit well with a lot of people, and I mean, why not?
Exactly.
If it doesn't sit well, you know, if it doesn't sit well with people, then maybe all the more reason to do it, not just for the sake because it's controversial or because it is so-called sensitive, mm-hmm. but maybe there's a lot of, you know, a lot of things that's going wrong, or maybe we should start talking about it,
right.
as opposed to just, you know, not talking about it, ignore it completely.
Now, how is there a time or an event or several events that brought up this particular subject that you asked, I'm going to go do this? Is there, what are the factors that brought you to this endeavor?
Well, I think living in San Francisco for 4 years has something to do with that. Cannot deny, you know. I think,
right.
It's always been something I've always been very interested in, sexuality. You know, it's I did a few sexuality classes, and when I was in school, and it was just interesting to learn about sexual diversity. And you know, there's a lot of stories that have been done on transsexualism in Asia, particularly in our region, in Southeast Asia, with Thailand and whatnot, but not so much on transsexualism in Islam. And definitely not transsexualism in Islam and sex worker,
yeah. That's right. Now, where did you film this documentary?
It was filmed in Kuala Lumpur, mm-hmm. and a lot of it in Chowkit.
Oh, well, now for my American listeners, Kuala Lumpur is the capital of Malaysia, and Chow Kit is one of the busiest streets and probably for prostitution too, isn't it?
It is, notorious definitely.
For, yeah.
It's a red light district.
Red light district.
As the cops would say, the black zone. The black zone.
How long... So you went back to Malaysia, and how long before this project came to you?
Well, when I was working in the U.S., I knew I was going back. So I just, even while I was working in Miami, I wrote a little proposal for the Freedom Film Fest organizers. Every year they collect documentary proposals, mm-hmm. and it got accepted. Three of us were chosen, and you know, we were given a little bit of money to make a documentary. So I already worked on it before I came back, and then when I immediately got back in probably mid-June, I had like less than 2 months to finish it, so I finished it in 7 weeks, 6 to 7 weeks.
Did you shoot it yourself?
Yes, sir.
Do you have any other helpers?
No. No helpers.
So did you edit that yourself?
It would
yourself?
Have been nice if somebody could carry my tripod.
But I remember this.
I can do it myself.
Because, you know, I was a film student as well. I was a broadcasting and film student. And, you know, all the student projects, you have to pretty much carry your lights and carry your camera and the tripod all by yourself and walking in the snow. Oh, miserable days.
Yeah, but you know what? It gives you really strong arms. Mm. It really makes you a supergirl. So, you know, I'm like, that's cool.
So, it really was exciting. Now, tell... people who are, if you're listening to this, I'm going to be publishing this as well, posting this on tiltedworld.org, just because I think it's a perfect target audience. And you know, you, for instance, if whatever, you know, other online involvements you have, you can definitely link to this MP3 file and have people listen to this interview. So right now, I want to ask you a little bit about how... do people, if you are in Malaysia or if you are outside of Malaysia, how do you actually get to see this film? I have not seen it yet. The subject matter is very exciting. Just one sentence makes me want to watch this documentary. How can Malaysian watch this, and how can people outside of Malaysia like me watch this?
Well, for Malaysians, there's the Freedom Film Fest. The documentary premieres tonight, Malaysian time, at around 8:30. And it'll also be touring Malaysia. So it's Kuala Lumpur, Central Market NX, and then it's going to Johor Bahru, and then it's going to Kuching, Sarawak, for the first time, and the Freedom Film Fest is going there, and then to our home state, Penang.
I'm really
excited about that.
What are the dates?
The dates are...
what is the next
Saturday
screening?
Starting today, Saturday. Saturday for the whole of September at around 8 to 8:30.
So this Saturday, meaning, well, by the time you listen to this, this will be posted on Monday. So this would have finished. When you hear this, it will be mm-hmm. gone from, screening in KL right now?
It's screening in KL right now. Mm-hmm. And we've opened up more seats so that more people can come in, because our friends and different people, you know, from different organizations and also the sex workers themselves from Chow Kit, they're coming.
Wow. And I will get back into that too in a moment. But right now, let's say, let me look at your website, see if you, do you have dates on there? Or maybe, is there
yes,
a better,
I do, yeah. actually. Yes, I do. And I can send it to you. If you go to pechalobang.com. And
let me explain to American listeners. Pechalobang. Pecha means... why don't you explain that to the listeners? What pechalobang
means? You know what it is, right?
No, I want you to tell it. Poikang. That was Hokkien.
You know, initially, like, you know, if I ask any layperson, right?
Uh-huh.
But I tell them, oh, my documentary is called Pechalobang. The first thing that comes to mind is not really what it means. They'll think it's losing one's virginity. I'm like, no. That's not what it means. What Pechalobang means in the community is busted or spilled the beans
or a
secret revealed.
Yes,
but
yes.
Immediately they think, oh, it's losing your virginity. I'm like, no, that's not the meaning of Pechalobang.
Right, yeah. Pecha literally means broken, to break or break open, and a lobang is whole, and you know, hence that explanation. But obviously this will only make sense if you understand Malay.
Oh,
Right. My cat just came in. This is how a podcast is. My cat just decided to talk. Okay. So pecah lubang means it literally means, you know, a broken hole, but the meaning is, you know, busted, you know, finding out about your secret and all that. Today, we're recording this on a Friday. Tomorrow, on a Saturday, the 6th, it will be the film festival is going on in KL. So by the time you hear this, it will be over. However, what is the next opportunity in Malaysia that people get to see this film?
That would be in Johor Bahru on September 13th.
September 13th.
And it's actually all posted on the website. So if you go to pecahlubang.com and you go to if you click on the tab that says screenings, you have actually the screening dates and how to actually get tickets.
Very cool.
To reserve a spot.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Now, obviously, I do have several listeners from Johor, so hopefully they will get to go see it. Now, after that, after Johor Bahru, there'll be the next Saturday will be the 20th of September. The screening will be in Kuching for the first time for this film festival.
That's right.
Sorry, my cat's tail. Did you see?
Oh, how adorable.
Sorry. And so, you know, for the first time in Kuching on the 20th, it'll be at the Old Courthouse. And in Johor Bahru, it'll be the Tropical Inn Johor Bahru. And then on the 27th, which definitely all my Pinay Hokkien listeners must go and see this movie. I'm so jealous I want to see it. I'll find out from you how can I get to see this film. In Penang on the 27th of September, end of this month, the 27th of September at 8 p.m. at Wawasan Open University. So find out more information at Pecah Lubang, and it's like Lobang, not Lubang, Lobang, pecahlubang.com. But just go to penanghokkien.com or onlinepodcast.com. You'll be able to find out more information about that. But I want you to go. Is it free?
It's free.
Oh, my gosh. Penang people really like free people. Free things, you know. Penang, Malaysian are very suka free things, one. So
very suka free things for sure, you know.
Yeah.
Also sometimes they won't, you know, they won't oh my god, but never mind, I know. Save that for another day.
Do you know about the venue? Is it huge? Is it
well, you know, last year they had it at this place called I believe Actors Studio Green Hall, that they had it there, and it was too small, so it seems. But this year they're having it at Wawasan Open University, which is a new university, which is where, you know, the Yap Choy building? Have you been to Penang recently? Did you get back?
Yes, it was last year.
You know that white majestic building that's sort of like on Northern Road? No,
I don't remember. I need to see the picture. I'm sure I know where it is when I see the photo.
It's where, you know, Citibank and Standard Chartered.
Yes, like Passport, the old IC place.
And it's white.
The old IC place?
It's this beautiful white majestic building that, you know, just sits there as this row of, it's called the Millionaire's Row, right? Northern Road.
Oh, I think I know where it is. Yeah.
Okay. So that building has been converted into a university. So, and then you have this Wawasan Open University, sort of like it's behind it. So it was built around that white building in Northern Road. So it's going to be held there. I have no idea about the space of the venue, but I'm really hoping it, you know, I know it's, I really have no idea actually, John. I don't know what to expect.
So, okay, let's go back to the film. For those who are outside of the United States, I mean, outside of Malaysia, how can we watch this film?
Well, I am planning to bring it to different film festivals, and that's one. And two, I'll be selling DVDs on pecahlubang.com, and you can pay via PayPal.
Oh, very cool, very cool. When is that going to be available?
You know, I haven't even gotten the DVDs myself, so I think this evening they're going to give me a few copies. Mm-hmm. Probably, I'm traveling this month, probably sometime in October, I'm going to start setting it up and, you know, maybe I'll get somebody to do, you know, the shipping and everything and have everybody.
Well, very cool. But there is a way to see it. Now, did you edit the whole movie yourself?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Now, if you have time, and you probably don't, but if now I did see some, like, you know, your the trailer and all that. If there's anything, I also have a video podcast. So if there's anything that you want to do that is customized to my audience, you can do it. You don't have to. If there's like any QuickTime file or whatever that you can point me to that I can download and. Publish that on my feed so that people can see it, and then also put it, maybe if you can, putting something like, you know, DVD coming in October or something, or coming to your film festival near you, possibly. That would be lovely too. Okay. If you have time, otherwise I know how to, like, you know, juri from your website.
Screen video capture.
I see, and I'll put the, or I can just simply put the a link on my website, but I like to put an actual video in my video feed so that people actually get to see it. I think it's more exciting.
I think you'll be able to do that. Or you could just pull it from YouTube, or, you know.
I have YouTube. Do you have the QuickTime file? Yeah, maybe you can FTP or something, or send me a QuickTime file or something. We'll talk about that later.
We'll do that.
And then I'll publish it on my feed. Okay, so how did you find your subject? How did you approach your subject when you want to create
this
film?
I got yelled at.
Tell us a little bit about that, your experience.
I mean, it's understandable, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're very, very freaked out by reporters, because, you know, especially folks from, you know, local media, and mm-hmm. just go in, and then, you know, they're projected a certain way on television, and so they were, of course, very wary initially, mm-hmm. and, you know, and that's totally understandable. But if you sit there in Lorong Hajitai every night from 6 p.m. till 3-4 a.m. for several days straight, you know,
were you there yourself?
They feel bad for you too.
Were you there yourself?
Yes, I was.
Wow.
Yes, I was.
Wow, that's kind of daring, isn't it? Being in the red light
district, I think,
alone?
You know, my biggest fear was somebody, you know, jumping in and taking my camera. That was probably my biggest fear. And
what camera? Like, let's go geek out
20,000,
a little bit.
20,000 ringgit of camera gear. That would have been horrible.
Wow. And so, how gutsy. You know, I think
is
I don't
it?
Even... Yeah, that's very gutsy. Well, you know, that's what, you know, a journalist would have the ability to, you know, stick on that mission to find out stories. How many people did you get to interview?
The sex workers themselves?
Yeah, sex workers
or
themselves.
Everybody?
Sex workers.
Let's see, I don't know. Probably like a little more than a dozen.
Okay. And who are, so you know, do you get, what? How did you tell the story? Like, what kind of, or should we leave that for you to watch? Or what kind of story?
I can tell you briefly.
Go ahead.
Well, it sort of follows the main character. Her name is Natasha. She's a Muslim transsexual sex worker, and what her life and, you know, her experiences are, and especially as, you know, working in Chowkit. And then you also see other characters in the documentary from the legal perspective, from the medical perspective, you know, how sex change was allowed in Malaysia in the 1980s, you know. And I actually found the doctor who did to perform the surgery. And then the Jabatan Agama Wilayah Persekutuan, the religious religious department or religious agency. And then, you know, the police, you'll see them a little bit. And, you know, they refuse to talk. Well, then we can go on to the whole story altogether.
That's my next question is, what kind of obstacles did you have to face, beside having to sit outside on Chowkit waiting for the sex workers to talk to them? What other obstacles did you face making this film?
Obstacles. I think one of the big obstacles is just trying to be fair sometimes to the other side, and you get to see that I really tried really hard, and I hope my audience is happy with that. It can be very challenging. It's not impossible to get, you know, the side from sort of from authorities per se, because they're a little wary, and rightly so too, understandably. I mean, who are you? You're trying to make a documentary about transsexualism and Islam in Malaysia. Like, what do you want? And it's also, you know, a little bit more bureaucratic, but it's very important for local filmmakers who are making documentaries to sort of have the other side as well, to sort of, you know, show that there's this legitimate sort of valid view, you know, coming from the other end.
So what did you were you at any point during this project thought about, oh my gosh, I can't do this because I was not allowed to access on many things because people don't want to talk? I mean, we all know Malaysian government is not necessarily the most open government. So what did you actually have moments of discouragement that you think, I might not be able to finish this film?
I mean, I did, but, you know, it's like whenever I came to that point, I'm like, well, you know what? All the more reason why I should try harder, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I need to be fair, right? I mean, I have to work harder. It's something that I have to do, regardless of whether or not they want to talk to me. I need to try harder and try to understand where they're coming from.
Did you actually, have you faced any, like, threat from anyone that you can tell us?
Well, tonight's the premiere. I don't know. But no. I mean, I don't know.
There's no, you know, with your website up, I don't know what kind of publicity you'll be getting or should be getting now about your project, because obviously it's going to get a lot of attention. I saw an interview on NT7, is that right? The TV station?
NTV7?
Yeah. That's a cable channel?
It's public. It's public television.
Okay.
But it was early in the morning, so.
Like what?
And they didn't show a clip of this.
Oh, they didn't show a clip of the.
They didn't show a clip, and it was like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, and so, but so far, no obstacles, no government knocking on your door, or the religious.
No, none
agency.
Of that. No. No, none of that. None of that.
How,
I didn't know.
How are your family taking this, you know, your project? Do they know, and are they supportive?
Oh, they know about it.
Right.
They support it. My mother has always been very supportive. I usually tell her things after the fact, but this time I couldn't because... it was the first time I've been, you know, came back in June, and I was saying to my mom, you know, Ma, you know, this is, I'm gonna be back for your birthday, you know, the first time in like 5 years. I missed her birthday like 5 years straight, and I missed it again because I was working in Chow Kid, so, and she's in Penang, so I had, I mean, I told her what was going on,
right.
What I was working on, but she knew sort of beforehand too.
So what was the task like going back to Malaysia and having to put this film together? As far as just knowing people, networking, how did you actually get about getting to know people there in Malaysia to start this film?
Well, I had a lot of help, John. I had a lot of help from the folks, the kind folks from the PT Foundation, which is an organization that sort of gives aid to sex workers. They also do HIV prevention and harm reduction work. So I had help from that, and they had actually a Matnia transsexual program. So I had help from the folks there, and then I also had help from few people from the Legal Aid Center and attorneys, so they actually helped out in trying to introduce me to different folks, and then the rest was just being there and then getting to know the folks in Chow Kid.
How did you actually find out about all those organizations?
The internet and Google.
Very cool.
They're really established organizations. So
okay. The funny thing is, well, you know, I've been away from the country for many years. I came here in 1995, and so I might be a little bit more detached from that, but I don't think that those organizations, to a common regular Malaysian, that they, I don't think they might even know that those organizations exist. So, that
might be true.
Yeah. So is there? Unless you are involved in somebody you know or whatever, for some reason you are involved in that circle, you probably, it's not something that you want to talk about, which is more reason why this subject needs to be brought up. Did you when you go into this project, tell us about how you went into this project as far as emotionally and without judgment, blah blah blah, all that kind of stuff. Were you going in into that already knowing some, or were you still curious? And also, what kind of, do you have any sort of baggage going in? Something, misconception you may have had before you get into the project?
I knew I didn't know enough. Mm-hmm. And I knew that whatever I knew before I went into the project could be all wrong.
Right.
It could be all an assumption. So it was a lot of like, okay, this is what I knew about, let's say, transsexuals in Malaysia, about matnias. But maybe I could be wrong. I could be wrong about, a lot of things. So it was sort of unlearning and relearning. And then also, going for the strong other side and trying to understand, why they feel that way about transsexualism in regards to Islam and how that came to be for them as well, and why they think or feel that way. So it was a lot of that, John.
I am so wanting to see this film.
If you'd like, I could send you a DVD.
I would love to. I would like to see this film because so that I can. Talk about it, because it's so exciting and I want to find out more. And I know that other than watching it, I won't be able to get the full scope of what's going on.
Yes, you have to watch it. I will definitely send you more.
Yeah, definitely. Let me check on my time. Okay, we have a little bit more time. What is that one thing that you came out from this project that, like, I did not know that? Going in, is there anything?
I think it's the culture in the community, the close-knit culture among the sisters, like they really watch each other's back. Like in Chowkit, there is no pimp. So all the sex workers look out for each other, there's no pimp to sort of harass them, and I thought that was interesting. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether you read, I actually mentioned this at a local newspaper when a reporter interviewed me. They had all these terms, and one of them went on one of my first few nights. And I went there, one of the girls, she gave me a coin. And she was passing the coin to the other sex workers, and then it came to me, and she says, "Ini untuk you, bagi you ada ong."
Oh.
This is for you, for good luck. I was like, what? No, I don't want it. And she says, "Orang bagi you ambil jela. If somebody gives it to you, just take it."
Oh.
So it's like, this is how it works. So if you're a sex worker, right?
Uh-huh.
And you've arrived at Chowkit, you already had your first client or customer. And I just came, let's say I'm a sex worker. You pass a coin to me for luck, and I will pass it on to another sex worker later.
Ah.
So that they have that luck at it.
Wow.
Well.
Wow, so it's that sisterhood bonding, like I take care of you and you make sure that you take care of your next sister.
Yeah, and there's a whole list of terms that that are just like pechalobang. I didn't know anything about, pechalobang. Ong, police is called cikgu.
Oh.
I actually have a whole list, and
See, that's why I want to watch it so badly.
But that one is not so much in the documentary. I think there was like what I learned, but
just from your research, it is just so exciting and interesting that I want to watch.
If you want, I actually have a list of those terms, which actually the Legal Aid Center sort of came up with. I can actually share it with you. Quite interesting.
Sure, sure, go get it. Oh my gosh, this is so interesting, and obviously she's a young, vibrant, pretty. A journalist who's involved in this project, and she just went over and grabbed the list for us right now. Now she's back and she's going to tell us a few things.
She's
back with the list.
They refer to, whenever they say, malami ada checking. Checking would mean like there's a police operation or raid, or a religious raid. ada checking hari ini. Checking means raid. And then there's cendut, the term cendut. I didn't understand.
I don't know.
Hey, what cendut means? Do you know what cendut means?
Do not.
Okay, so like they would say, wow, sexy, you look sexy today, malam ni sexy, ya, tentulah cendut. Cendut basically means you get a lot of customers, you know, or it could also mean seeking a livelihood. Banyak, tentulah cendut, you know, datang cendut, you know. So, and then buka api, have you heard of the term buka api? Said, you sudah buka api, have you buka api? It basically means, have you started work? Buka api also means turn on the light.
It's like,
have you started sex
like open
work
business?
Yet? Open business, that's right. A lot like, you know, pecah lobang, and then, and there are terms that I don't really want to go into. I think it'd be too much for your show, like one way, two way, three way.
Oh, no. I want,
you know,
that,
like,
that is,
no, I cannot.
Yeah, you know what? That is.
I'll send it to you.
Let me. Is it because of you too shy to talk about, or is it? It's not for my audience.
No,
because
I'm not too shy.
Frankly,
really?
Bosi, let me tell you. I think this might be the only interview that you actually get and encourage to tell us about those terminologies. Yeah, go ahead and tell us, please do.
I found apom's the term itself very interesting, and when I asked, you know, one of the sex workers, well, what does it mean, like, she says, and I'm actually reading from this sort of a sheet of paper that was prepared by the Legal Aid Center, and it says here, right, the definition for apom is to have anal sex as an active partner with a transsexual and then switch roles to become the passive receiving partner. So when I asked a transsexual, well, what is apom? He's like, well, you know, actually, we get a lot of apom clients or customers where they would ask for, you know, to have sex, to have, I guess, sex, anal sex, but to be on the receiving end.
Okay.
You know, they actually go
the customer,
and they go
the
find a sister.
The client,
yeah, the customer
to be on the receiving end. Okay, so in a more gay term, it's like you would the transsexual worker would actually be the bottom and the top too sometimes.
Yeah, and okay. I just thought that was really fascinating, and one of the sex workers mentioned, well, maybe that's because they're, this is how she felt, or what she, her thoughts. She said maybe they're ashamed or not necessarily comfortable to go see a male sex worker. That was, you know,
okay.
I thought that really, and I thought, is that so?
Yeah,
so
that's very interesting. Now, did she actually get to talk to any of the clients?
Well, they did. Some did talk to me. They're like, are you a reporter? Are you a reporter? Am I on video? Am I on video? Please, 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 please don't put me on video. Am I going to be on TV? I got that, actually.
But did you actually use them? Did you use any of those
footage? Well, those who approached me, I knew they weren't in it. So
okay.
I said, no, you have nothing to worry about. They're like, really, really, really? Please, 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 please. They're like totally begging. And I was like, no, I'm pretty sure you're not in it. And even in this documentary, I mean, if the sex workers themselves, you know, if they're not as an interest, you know, they're afraid for a lot of reasons, and they tell me not to, specifically tell me not to, I do not want to be in it, I don't put them in, but I put those who sort of give me consent, or, you know, whom I'm, they're just standing out and in the public space, and can just shoot them.
Okay. Wow, very exciting. Give me one more on the list that you think that you would never be able to tell people in an interview. The most outrageous one.
I think apom was the most interesting one. No, the rest are, you know, it's actually quite mild. Quite mild, you know.
Do you have any links on your website about those organizations? Like the...
I don't, but I can send them to you,
and I
can put them up as well.
Yeah. If you can send them my way, like I said, the show will be posted this Monday, so it will be on the September 8th. So if you can send that by then, and I'll put it on the website, because I think as online podcast and tiltedworld.org, both places are really more like a GLBT social website. So not only are we talking about entertainment values, we are also talking about education. You know, you're learning new things, and expose information to groups of people who may not have the comfort level of going out there and seeking themselves, but when they listen to it on a podcast like this, they, you know, gain information. So what is your the biggest thing that you like the gain? What did you gain from this project? So as a journalist, as you know,
what did I gain from this project? A better understanding, I think, at you know, just being a Muslim transsexual sex worker in Malaysia, and you know, seeing how a lot of them do not necessarily want to go into sex work, but sometimes because of lack of opportunities or discrimination and not being given a chance to work, you know, that's they can only turn to that, and it's really sad.
Yeah. Wow. Now, is it? Do you choose the Muslim aspect and the transsexual sex workers, or do you actually see other non-Muslim transsexual workers in that Chowkit area too?
Actually, it was specifically focused on Muslim sex workers.
But there are other sex workers there. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But Muslims, they're about, I mean, and there's one sociologist who actually did quite an extensive quantitative and qualitative study on them. The data may be old, but it's the only one in the country. And she took a pool of transsexuals all over the country, and coincidentally, or, you know, it happened to be that 80% of them were Muslim.
Oh.
So, and if you talk to lawyers and attorneys, they have it the worst because of the religious enforcement there. So if you're... so it's quite interesting. It's different.
Wow.
For a non-Muslim transsexual and a Muslim transsexual, you have, you know, you can be arrested by the religious police. So it's different.
Wow. Well, it is definitely fascinating. Posey, thank you so much for chatting with me and tell us about your film. And I'm so glad that you actually replied my email so quickly.
Of course.
I saw that. I was like,
I'm a big fan of one of your podcasts.
Oh, okay. Just to, like, you know, stroke my own ego. How did you find out about PenangHokkien.com?
I don't know. It must be through one of those Penang pool sites. You know, they listed it there.
Has it been a while since you found it, or is it just last?
It's
few
been
months?
A while. I think I found it probably like. A while? Maybe a year? Has it been on a year?
It's been on 3 years, actually. It's been on a while.
Even, I think, no, actually longer than a year. Probably, like, maybe 2.5 years
okay,
ago. And when I found it, I just couldn't stop laughing. I was like, wow.
Well, especially when you're in America, I think it does something to people, Penangites, who are away from Penang. And then, you know, just hearing that Hokkien, even if you don't speak it very well, you just hearing that Hokkien around you is very sort of comforting. And funny, you
it
know.
It is comforting.
Yeah, and
and all the vulgarity on your show, John. It's so amusing. It's so amusing. I couldn't stop cracking up.
Well, yeah, it is a nice project for me, definitely, but not as exciting and interesting as this Bacalobang movie. I am so anxious. I want to see it, and when I see it, I will definitely talk about it again, and maybe actually have you back again if you are free. Again, what is your next project?
Well, I've been looking at a few. I can't. Just yet.
Okay.
just poking around.
It will be in
there
Malaysia.
Are some things that interest me. The next one will be in Malaysia, and I'm sort of doing a little research and working on that right now. But
okay.
Nothing concrete.
Is it going to be like a film, like a documentary project, such as this, or what?
Similar in style. So,
wow. Mm-hmm. How much time, this is very quickly, how much time when you were involved in this project, shooting and editing, how much time in like a day did you spend on your project?
I don't know, 25 hours.
I can totally imagine that.
It was like nighttime, you would sit in Chowkit and work there. Daytime, you would either log your tapes or go and do all the interviews with like official sources and stuff like that. And then you sneak time to sleep in between.
And then you have to edit that yourself.
And then you have to edit it. And you leave 1 week to edit. And then so you drink a lot of coffee.
Oh.
Drink a lot of Nescafe. Just like, okay, next cop, next cop, next cop. So, yeah.
Wow, I really admire you, and I'm so glad. Please, if you, I mean, I'll check on your website, but you know, if you next project comes up, I would like to hear about it. If, you know, if you can, if you have to spare the time and email John about that, please let me know. Yeah, I would love to know all about that. How exciting could that be? Pecahlobang@pecahlobang.com. Go to onlinepodcast.com for the link if you don't know how to spell it. But if you know, if you're Malaysian, pecahlobang, not lubang, pecahlobang.com to find out when you can go see it. And again, to repeat the screening information as you're hearing this, hopefully, if you're listening to this later on, Johor Bahru is the next location that you get to see this film, and it is free 8 p.m. on September 13th in Kuching, Sarawak, on the 20th of September at 8 p.m. More information on the website, pecahlobang.com. And then our hometown, Bosi and my hometown, Penang, on the 27th of September. I definitely will be making the announcement on penanghokkien.com as well, at Wawasan Open University at 8 p.m. September the 27th, all Saturdays. So hopefully you can go there and bring the comments to Bosi's website or binanghokkien.com or onlinepodcast.com and let us know how you like the film. I just want to see it. I'm so jealous. Well, thank you so much, Bosi. Hang tight. I'm going to finish up the show, and then we will you know, we'll don't hang up yet, okay? Well, thank you so much, ladies and gentle whores, for listening. Hopefully, that was exciting enough that you would want to go check that out. When the DVD is out, I will have all the information on my website on how to purchase that. I will be doing that myself. And any comments, go to onlinepodcast.com. Leave your comments there. You can email me at online@gmail.com or call me at 206-888-JOHN, 206-888-JOHN, and leave me comments. Okay, thank you, Posey. And looking forward to the next film, even though I haven't seen this one yet. Thank you, ladies and gentle whores. Don't forget to smile. Bye-bye.